This morning, our lesson is on hope. So when you hear the word hope, what do you think of? Now, the first thing that came across my mind was when I went to school, I used to hope the teacher wouldn't show up. Especially if it was test day. Really hoped the teacher wouldn't show up. So, when you have hope, what do you think of as hope?
Answer the prayer.
A little bit more information. Oh, while I think about it. I'm not a computer person. So, him logging on to whatever he logged on, is that like when Sue goes next door and plugs in our extension cord in the guy's outlet?
Yeah, that's what that's like. Okay.
Just want to make sure. Just keep going. Okay, now, what about hope as an answer to prayer? What do you mean?
Well, if I'm hoping for something, I'm going to be praying for that.
Oh, okay. So when you hope for something, then you're going to put a little action into that hope by praying. Okay? All right. What else? Yes, ma'am.
Hope for me is something that I expect to happen. And that's, let's say, that cause kind of to happen. Having something that I want to happen and something that I expect also to happen.
Okay, so there's something that you want to happen, but you expect it to happen, so you kind of hope it happens. Okay.
The desire of that happening.
Pardon?
The desire of
okay.
That happening.
Alright. So wanting's kind of the thing. I want it and I hope. Yes, ma'am.
Last year I saw a series of videos that were aimed at training foster parents. By Dr. Bruce Perry, which is an expert and psychiatrist and psychologist in Houston. Anyway, at the end of each one, he impressed that the main thing foster parents would do is to give their children hope.
Okay.
It was very blatantly at the end.
Okay.
The important thing.
Okay. And how would you define that word hope that they would give these children?
Well, a purpose in for life, that they can succeed, that they can live above where they have come from.
Okay. A hope to get out and better.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Yes?
Like a dream or an advancement or something that you're in the future that you...
Okay. So you see something in the future and you kind of hope to obtain it and get it, okay? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Well, I see hope as kind of negative sometimes. You hope for something, but it may not happen.
Okay, so...
And how does that make you feel?
I tell you, you know, people are from up north and come down here sometimes. Okay, so you see hope as a negative sometimes.
Sometimes. I'm an author, and I have put myself out there a lot, and I've often said to Roger that sometimes I think hope kills.
Okay, so hope can be... And I'm not... Yeah.
North too.
Pardon?
She from up north too.
Hey. It's just like when you marry someone from Oklahoma, you're just stained for life.
People in churches peddle hope. I call them hopesters.
Oh.
They peddle hope so they keep the money flowing sometimes.
Okay. So in that case, hope's not a real positive then, is that correct? Or it's a gimmick. Yeah. I just heard a song a couple of weeks ago by Dallas Holm that talks about he's flipping through his channels and there's nothing on Saturday night, so he goes to cable and he sees a preacher on there that's saying, send in your seed money. You know, and kind of what you're saying, send in that seed money and money's coming. And that's the theme. So his conclusion at the end was he wished he could buy every poor person a TV so that they can tune in and see the hopesters and send seed money since money was coming. So you see as hope as something that we sell. Okay? So we got hope could be a little negative. I agree, by the way. Here's an author that says hope is cruel. Here's hope. What other things do we think of hope? Yes.
Our hope is based on God's promises through Christ Jesus. Like He promised us that He will provide to us whatever we ask in the Lord's name. And so it's by the hope that we have that we claim the promises.
Okay. So, if we have enough hope, then we can claim something. Okay.
And then he also says the servant's not greater than his master. And look what happened to the master. They crucified him and died. So do we have anything better to expect than death in this world?
Okay. That's.
He was reborn. He rose.
So that's my hope.
He had rebirth in it. You know what? I really think hope is an awareness of possibilities.
Okay.
God is a certainty.
We can
reach to Him. Hope is us trying to reach out.
Okay. All right. So now we have hope is reaching out. Yes, ma'am.
Hope shouldn't be taken alone. Hope has to be combined with action, attempt. Otherwise, it's just...
Just hanging?
It's an excuse. Well, I hoped for it, and it didn't
happen.
God helped me.
Okay.
I didn't know anything about it myself, but hey, I
don't know. Okay. All right, so you think there's something added to hope. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, listening to everyone, I get the conclusion that maybe reasonable expectations. Let's say I expect that my husband does something that he's never going to be doing. I'm going to be disappointed. But if I expect that something is reasonable to happen, I'm going to be happy.
Okay.
With that response.
All right. Anybody else on hope? Okay. This quarter, we're looking at the Christian life. So far, we've said that a Christian life must have faith, must have love, must have hope, must have grace, must have fellowship, must have community. What danger, if any, do you see when we create a list, as we have this quarter, 13 things that we should have in a Christian's life? What could be a danger in doing that?
Well, it creates a criteria. It creates a things you do instead of a relationship you respond to. So I think when we, sometimes people say, I must not have enough hope because this, or I must not believe enough, when in reality it may not have anything to do with that.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? What danger? Yes.
It also has a way of grading ourselves. It can either making us feel too self-confident that we have all these, or disappointed that we don't.
Okay.
Or you could just live in denial like I do and you don't have any problem.
For some reason, I believe him.
Denial's not that bad. You can always go fishing.
Anybody else? Got a list of 13 things in the Christian life that we should have. I think the list is absolutely fantastic. But what's a danger?
There's a danger of losing our focus so that some people might end up just focusing on those 13 things and then we lose the main.
Okay. All right. Is the... Yes, ma'am.
I think there's a danger of us judging each other if we have
them. Oh. How can that be?
We do that.
Yes, we do.
Isn't that what the Jews did? I mean, it was the darkest time when Christ came, but it was when the religion was...
Absolutely. You see, we can post those 13 things on our wall, and every week that you come in, we could say, okay, now, who had a great week in faith this week? And if they raise their hand, we can put some gold stars up there.
The danger, I think, is that we are able to engender these within ourselves, that we are able to produce these without some divine help.
Okay.
The focus is on us or our striving instead of on gift.
Absolutely. When we post the list, there's two things that happen. Now, in our sales board at Hawk, we post all the salespeople. And every month we come in, and when we redo our board for the month, we take the top salesman and we move all the way down to the bottom salesman. So when a person walks in, he can see where he ranked last month in sales just by where his name is on the board. What do you think when a person walks in, the salesman walks in that first Friday for the meeting, what are the two things he looks at?
I hope I'm not in the bottom.
That's right. He looks immediately where his name is. And then he looks and sees who has he beaten and who's ahead of him. Now, in the business world, we love it. That's why we do that. Because we bred competition. Or do we breed it? We breed it.
Oh.
No wonder handing out those little slices of bread every week didn't do any good. Man, I'm telling you. Wow. And they still pay me. Man, I'm telling you.
The good part is we all understood it.
Yeah.
We made the adjustment.
Thank you. Hey. Remember, I'm the one who said, man, I hope the teacher don't show up today. Yeah, so we bred. Well, we did something with them. Anyway, that's what we want. Do we want that in our Christian life?
No.
Why?
It
points to self.
Yes. It's the very thing that will cause you to lose your salvation. Once you focus on that list and you walk in and you start looking at faith, love, hope, grace, fellowship, community, things like that, and if you're of that mindset, the first thing you do is say, well, man, I'm pretty good at that. But boy, poor old Leroy, he needs to work on that. Because he's only got 2 stars and I've got 5 stars. How many of you have the hope of salvation? Why are some of you afraid to raise your hand?
Well, maybe our salvation. We have assurance, not hope.
Oh, man, there's always a hair. How come you're not an alumni today? How many of you have the hope of salvation?
Maybe hope you have assurance.
Hope got assurance.
Because hope isn't involved in it.
Do you read the quarterly?
No.
Hey, I think hope is involved in it. But explain why you think it's not.
Well, because it's a matter of your action accepting, and it's assured. So, like he says, there's no hope involved in it in the sense that sometimes you hope for something and it may or may not happen. It can happen for you.
The hope part comes in and I'm hoping that I'm able to accept, but I'm functioning to accept that is my aim every day.
Huh? Paul said to have your salvation sure. He did say we have the hope of resurrection.
What did he mean by that?
You trust God.
Okay. Do you have the hope of salvation? Now, this is why it's important to understand in a Christian life we're supposed to have hope. Well, what in the world does that mean? If you don't define the word, then you don't even know what you're looking for. How many of y'all know the expression, you hope against hope? What is that meaning?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that means you don't have a chance. But you're just hoping against hope. Now, I have a precious granddaughter. And Sue can hope all she wants to that certain things are going to change. And believe me, she does. and nothing changes. Does God expect us to have that type of hope?
Well, you're hoping for a change of someone else, not yourself.
Okay.
That's different, I think.
All right. If you have hope for salvation, what are you hoping for? God going to knock you off your motorcycle?
What does assurance mean?
What does assurance mean? Good question. I like people that ask questions. Especially when I don't know the answer. So let's find the answer. What does assurance mean? That's an excellent question.
Is that like insurance?
No, I don't think. What does assurance mean to you?
You're certain it's going to happen.
You're parallel right along with the faith. Like measuring faith.
You can't do it without each one of them. Absolutely.
Knowledge, it's like the knowledge gives you, you know, you have faith. But the more you know of God, the more faith you have because you know what He can do. Hope runs parallel to that. The hope is always in the future, but it goes along with the more knowledge you have, the more confidence you have. And that's where the assurance comes in.
Okay, let's.
I'm not sure if knowledge will always bring you confidence in that.
Why do you say that?
There are a lot of very knowledgeable people that are far more knowledgeable than people in this room that don't have the assurance of salvation.
True. It's absolutely a brilliant thought.
Which goes with the relationship.
Yeah. And this is one of the things that our church is struggling with in its writings is you have those on one side that say you must have knowledge, you must have understanding, you must study, you must understand what, for lack of a better word, doctrines are. See? And then over here, you have a different side that says you must just have faith, understanding, and know God. And then you have a group that works in the middle that says it would probably be both if you had both of them, but you must understand which one has priority. So knowledge is not enough. Who knew the Bible in Christ's time? Who knew the Bible?
Pharisees.
Memorized it. Memorized it. But they got nothing out of it. See? Yes?
Perhaps hope. And we're talking about hope and assurance that we have salvation. We don't need hope that we have salvation. But maybe we have hope that you know the people we know or the society in general or whatever will wake up and somebody will knock them off their motorcycle.
Okay. So,
and wake them up, give them a shaking, that they will finally see what's going on and accept. Or we hope that the right message will get to them at the right time.
Okay.
You know, those kind of hopes.
Okay. Is that the kind of hope that we're to have in our Christian life?
I would hope so.
Okay. That's expectation. That's expectation. All right. Now, let's get personal. How many of y'all hope that Jesus Christ comes again? Mel, are you going to sit there and let people talk about me like that?
You can't say no to that.
Huh?
You can't say no to that.
Well, I would say there's millions of people that say no to that.
If you had asked that question differently, to inject the question more strongly, if you had said, how many of you only hope, then that really underlines what I think is the definition that we use hope in context nowadays. It leaves a big question.
How?
It's different than I believe. When I first started dating this lady here, it was quite a while. I was hoping that she sort of cared for me and that. But after a while, then I began to believe, and then we tied them up. And that's the relationship that... And I think that's the problem with the word hope. It just leaves too much of a question if you just use the word hope.
Okay. Hope implies the possibility of not happening.
That's right. But hope is having faith in the uncertainty and hoping that the uncertainty becomes certain. So if I have faith, I'm having hope. And my faith continues to grow as my hope becomes stronger and stronger.
Okay. I don't get sidetracked very easy. How many of you all hope that Christ come the second time? How many of you know He's coming the second time?
It's like Paul said, I know in whom I believe. I know.
See? How many of you hope that your sins are forgiven? Do you see the difference?
Let me read you the text here. It says in Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we possess.
Okay. What does that mean?
For he who promised is faithful.
Is your relationship with God based upon the luck of the draw? Why not?
If it was, we'd all be lost.
Pardon?
We'd all be lost if it was just on the draw.
Okay. So is hope good or bad?
It's a desire.
In the Christian life.
Maybe hope is an elementary level thing in a relationship. And you graduate to assurance.
Well, I agree with that because that's exactly where I'm going, except it can't be elementary because if I took the time, and I won't, is I could read you 100 texts that says we must have hope, and there's one right there. When you go through the Old Testament, and you go, by the way, the word hope is most usually in the book of Psalms, and it's most secondly used in the book of Job. Now, do you think that hope was in those books? Look at the two authors. Well, Moses wrote Job, but it was about Job. At least we think Moses wrote it. And David wrote most of the Psalms, see? If you go through those texts, and if we did 100 of them, it would be all the same. Hope is based upon assurance. Now, Webster's Dictionary does say that hope is used to something that we hope to expect, or we look to expect, or we want to expect to happen. Let me share this with you. There is no hoping to know what you can expect. You have the assurance of what to expect. And in the Christian life, that is the hope. Hope is built on that relationship with God. And we have every right to expect. We have every assurance to expect. We have every hope to know exactly what's going to happen if our relationship is where it needs to be. Now, let me hopefully illustrate. How many, anybody know anything about counterfeiting? Who said a little bit? Oh, good. See? When I worked, I was a sales manager for AB Dick Company about 27 years ago. And we sold an old printing press. It was a 360 printing press that was about to go out of date. Well, over here off of 360 in that motel there by McDonald's there in Six Flags, all in that area, there used to be a run-down motel. Well, they had a big raid on counterfeiters. And they were counterfeiting $20 bills. And Man, there's always a bright side to every story. They were doing it on an A.B. Dick 360 press. You know? So, man, I had all the sales reps carry that around, big article, you know, and everything, because they chose A.B. Dick 360. Why? It was the closest to bringing the original, see? So, now, on counterfeit, there are people that the U.S. Treasury and the banks and stuff, they train people how to spot counterfeit bills. How do you think they do that?
By looking at the real thing.
By looking at the real one. Exactly. They study the real one, the $20 bill or the $50 bill or the $100. They study it. They know it. They understand the feel of it, the texture of it. They know it so well that when the counterfeit comes across, they spot it immediately. I think sometimes in our experience with our Father, that we tend to want to look at the counterfeits and study the counterfeits so that we're so in touch with the counterfeit that when the real comes along, we think we're going to spot it. Hope is a word that has many variant meanings. And everything that you all said is absolutely correct. Hope is a killer. Ask her till she got her book. Ask Sue in her relationship with our granddaughter. You hope, and you hope, and you hope, and you get disappointed, and you get disappointed, and you get disappointed. And then there's the hope that we say, man, I wish this. Sue and I were lying in bed one night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, and we used to listen to a guy on the radio. His name was Bruce Williams. And a lady called in and said, this is my lifelong desire to take an Alaskan cruise. Well, why haven't you done it? She says, well, I just don't have the funds. But this has been my life dream. This has been my hope to take an Alaskan cruise. And then he said, well, I tell you what you can do. What type of job do you have? Well, I work Monday through Friday. Well, what do you do Saturday and Sunday? Nothing. Says, get you a job. 8 hours on Saturday. Wasn't an Adventist. A few hours on Sunday. And all that money that you make, put into a fund, and when you get, I think back then it was like $3,000, then take your Alaskan cruise. And guess what she said?
I don't want to give up my weekends.
Yeah. Well, I don't really want to do that. And guess what he said? Then you really don't want to get to Alaska very hard. What you want is someone to give you. We are not in the Christian business, the Christian life, the relationship with God to hope for something and just think it's going to happen. I like the word hope. Best definition, absolutely, is the assurance. And you're right. Whichever one said, faith, hope, all the same. You can't have faith unless you trust. This gentleman came through with a very nice return. Thank you. Charles came through last week. Very nice return. Much less. Make sure you tell him much less than this gentleman did. See? I still trust Charles with my 10,000. I'll move you up to $50. You see the difference? Why? Done a little bit better? Think a little bit better? See, God has never put us into that position where we have to think, we have to hope, we have to pray, God, come through for me. His promise is already there. He says, I know you before you were even born. It all depends on where our citizenship is. If our citizenship is in this world, then we're going to have some ups and downs. God's still in control. God still has the answers. God still never forgets. We still have the assurance that He's in the control in our life. It might not just be the picture that we have pictured. But let me tell you, when it comes to eternity, this is not a gamble. This is not a throw of the dice. This is not a pick of the card. This is not something that I think might happen. You have the absolute assurance that He loves, cares, wants you to spend eternity. And that assurance we call hope. But it is not could be. It is. It's up to us to have that relationship. Once we know, once we eat, once we drink, once we partake with Him, then faith, love, trust, hope, community, fellowship, grace, whatever words you want to put out there, becomes a natural part of our life because His power comes into our life. And that's the consequences. Doris Goodwin Kearns, I've used this illustration before. If you've heard it, apologize, but to me it means a lot. Doris Goodwin Kearns wrote the definitive biography of Abraham Lincoln, Pulitzer Prize. She spent 10 years on this book. And she said that when she got to where Lincoln was assassinated, she cried. Because she had lost a very dear friend, Abraham Lincoln. That's how engrossed she became in that person's life. Oh my! If we would just become engrossed in the life of Christ, the life of our Father, the life of the Holy Spirit that much, that when we read over in the Gospels where He died, it brings tears to our eyes. When we read in the Garden of Gethsemane where He laid there on the ground about to die, would have died if the angels had not come and took care of Him, that it would touch our heart. For you see, when He went to the cross, He looked at each one of us and said, "Can't you see how much I love you? And won't you come home, spend eternity? Because that is our hope." Assurance. Father in heaven, thank you for this class. Thank you for these people. Thank you for these lessons that show us that you want that relationship so much with us. And that as we look to you, as we fellowship with you, then faith and trust and hope, all of these things become more and more part of our life. Thank you for the assurance that when we look to you, make you our friend, we have the assurance we can spend eternity with you. Help us, Father, never to let go of you. Help us to share with others the goodness of who you are. Give us a good day today. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.